were supposed to have a meeting with the local organizing committee. On the meeting that
one thing that was always clear in my mind was that the area of international relations is absolutely strategic. It's an area that can't be hiked off to some committee somewhere in a corner. It's absolutely strategic and very important for us to always be, you know, mindful what we're doing, how we're handling it, and so on and so forth. I mean, just now, when we were the ICD, we picked up that there's somewhere we had to wear a care, deciding how we're going and how we're doing. And it's just too important for us to lose sight of and join the community. I was very uneasy that we were hiding it off to this company, the CIR, partly because I was resisting that we need a presiding officer to help to ensure that. And yet we know that part of the strategic thing that we must not decide off, finally. So I want to suggest that, correctly, Advocate Masuka has alerted us to the importance of going back to the policy to address the issue. I want to suggest that we go back, take that policy, look at it, and rethink what it is that we've done. So that when any in the year we come back, we are ready to come back into the room, having looked at that policy we adopted, and talk to ourselves about whether it was correct, whatever it is, because I'm a bit worried about what I did here. And I can understand from the point of view of the subcommittee of the legal group, they couldn't do anything but translate what we agreed and policy into rules that we then report to us and tell us how we do. But this that I see here, I'm worried about.
Now, the third rule is the language requirement of the rule.
Which already now it's working. So we wanted to check those things with the LOC. And on those basis, I have requested Mr. Jordan and Mr. Koza, when I was at the Union Building the other week, that no, we're requesting that the meeting should be postponed for a later date. That later date will be determined today after the management committee meeting. And everybody who's interested in the local organizing committee, they will know. But you must not forget that we said the local organizing committee must send delegates and all that. They were ready to do that. Then we said, let's postpone that meeting because we wanted to be equal to the task of the 2010. This thing of people coming and present here, the shining documents and all that, and they don't give us time to go through those documents for us to be able to ask questions, it becomes a very unfair thing. So I have changed the meeting on those bases, that they must send us their presentation so that we must give it to our research and be able to have other things that we are going to ask on top of their presentation. So the meeting for the 2010 has been called off. The only meeting that is here is this meeting. And even this meeting, I was of the view that Pori must cancel this meeting. But unfortunately, Pori didn't cancel the meeting. Then he let the meeting went on, and then so there was no way that we could cancel it. So we'll hear what is the presentation is all about. Pori tried to explain to me what is this presentation. I don't understand. So maybe members will be in a position to understand the presentation and be able to ask questions about the presentation. And then that's it. But we'll give over to the visitors to introduce themselves so that we hear who are they. And then we can give them over. Pula, where is your piece of document? Did you get it?
Yes.
Where is it? No, the one that of the PMG. I want to check that. What is it? So that I must put it on record correctly. Yeah. So we'll give over to. Are you going to use the power presentation? PMG?
I'm trying to see if my computer can accommodate it.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
driver.
Maybe we should just proceed with the hard copies if we're having electronic problems. I'm happy to proceed.
So I think let's go on. Honourable members, I think we understand on what basis did the committee stop the LOC from coming. It's purely on those basis. And I think we'll continue doing that. We must receive documents and then prepare ourselves and all that. So I have requested the LOC that they must not come because of the reasons that I provided to you. So it is not of their own choice, it is of our own choice, so that at least we must be able to do more work. And there are many things that we had to discuss with the LOC around the issues of the 2010. And those matters of the 2010 are not going to be the portfolio committee issues, are going to be national issues that the people of South Africa must know about them. Because the issue of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa is a little bit becoming a secret agenda. Only those that are privileged should know more and best about the 2010, and those who are far from the information point do not know anything about the 2010. We hear of the efforts that other committees are trying to do, like tourism and going around on the briefing session. I do not think that is enough. Our department, Lindy will go and inform the minister about that. Our department must have a deliberate program in telling people of South Africa in the 9 whole city stadiums that are existing and call Imbizos there and inform those people of the expectations that they are having. They might have different expectations than the reality that is going to happen during the 2010 World Cup. And we must begin now to work on the realities of the 2010 World Cup to the expectations of the people of this country. But part of the information that we are going to ask from the 2010 Local Organizing Committee, it's exactly those things. Job creation, permanent jobs. Who are the beneficiaries of these stadiums? The main people who are the main contractors, who are the subcontractors, where are they staying, and all those things. Because something that the department has done and the local organizing committee. We said not one company get all 9 stadiums in the country. No. One company, one stadium. If they've disguised and all that, and then it is found that they've disguised, disqualify them on both the original stadium and the second stadium. Because they're cheating. They change their names, they change their character. But if you find that, you must change those things. So those are things that we wanted to find out about them. And also we must go, our biggest concern with the 2010 local organizing committee. That is it true that our fear of not having a team for the 2010 World Cup, is that fear correct? Or it is just something, a fear that we are having, and then which is an unknown, an unfound fear. Those are things that we are going to discuss. So the chair postponed that meeting and come and present to the committee that the chair has requested the LOC not to come, and then we will brief them. Why? But I'm briefing the committee now that we got the documents from them. But I think we don't have enough time to can deal with those documents. So we are giving ourselves time so that our researcher must go on those documents and give us information. And the information that we are having too, we must dovetail it with what he's going to give to us so that at least we make a better impact when we meet with the local organizing committee. Yes, Comrade Cora. Nancy.
No, thank you, Chair. One, appreciate the work which you have done. You know, one is going around, and wherever you go, people will ask you about the 2010. And it's an embarrassment for a member of this committee not to be in a position to articulate what he or she is dealing with, because this committee is supposed to be abreast of everything in the 2010. So you'll assist us, so if we go to recess constituency, one have information to share with those people. Thank you.
Thank you. Bula?
Yes, Chair, we must thank you for this information that you have parted with us here. But absolutely in view of what the previous speaker mentioned, it is very, very important, Chair. We as public representatives are subjected to a whole lot of questions and at some stages also insults as well. It's because we cannot provide the proper answers to the public. But Chair, what is most enlightening is that the documents that have been disseminated have not reached us timelessly. And it's absolutely imperative for us to apply our minds so that when we have the LOC here, we can interact appropriately and get the right answers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Makosi. Now, okay.
Now, thank you, Chairperson, for the leadership that you gave for stopping the LOC to come and give us and ambush us again. I think it's more than proper that we get the information properly so that when they present it to us, we are able to balance the presentation and the information that we have. And it should be clear that the committee, the portfolio committee, is not fighting anyone. The portfolio committee is representing the public here, and all what we want is for the benefit of the nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, in the Sports and Recreation Committee, we will do our work without fear, without favour, without anything. We will do that work. Anybody who is uncomfortable of what we are doing, what is this that would make anybody to be uncomfortable when we ask questions so that people must know? I do not think that I can be uncomfortable and ask questions about that. But there's nothing. So up so far we've been doing exceptionally good. And I think people in this country are now beginning to have a more understanding of spots in this country, and we must do that. And issues of non-negotiables around the transformation agenda in this country, that we cannot discuss with anybody else. It's a given thing. And anybody probably who expect us to negotiate that, I'm sure is living in another country, not South Africa. So those are things that are making us to be where we are. Because if we can't make a change in this country, if we cannot talk about places that have not changed, then we have no reason to be here. Because if we do these things and then we find that things have not happened and we are not talking about these things for the minister to correct them, it means you're not assisting him at all. Because he can't be all over, but we can be all over and be able to ask questions, to give information, so that at least we have a better understanding of a progressive sport in this country. Last week we had a meeting with the black captains of the rugby. They were raising issues and saying, why is this rugby have to be a terrain of the ex-rugby players? And we are in the periphery and quiet about it. I met with them in the 120 last week. And they're right. The issue of the involvement of the rugby players, it cannot be an exclusive white terrain. And the white ex-captains must go around the country and give us an impression that they don't want to be led by de Villiers, this kefir called de Villiers, and them as the white rugby players, and they are opposed to that. And even if they are opposed to de Villiers, but they must accept the decision of their own union in appointing de Villiers as the captain, as the coach of the rugby. And even the way the rugby union has dealt with the matter of sports and recreation, they leave this country and go to the IRB and go and raise their concern around the Sports and Recreation Amendment Act. They don't raise it with us. They raise it with the IRB. The IRB asks us, and then we explain to them what it's all about. And I think if they wanted to know more, where they presented on the public hearings of the bill, we could have given them the information. But those are the things that we will interact with them and know them. But I think let us give over to the visitors. Yes, please.
No, Chair, in view of the sentiments that you expressed, you know, coming from KwaZulu-Natal, I should be boasting about the preliminary draws for the 2010. Indeed, it was a glorious event to be hosted in KZN. But as you've mentioned, Chair, in terms of transformation, etc., we need to address the issues of the disadvantaged communities. And, you know, Chair, I strongly believe there must be a set of rules, setting procedures and guidelines. If you have taken note, Chair, and I'm quite sure that you were present at the event, at the draw, you would find that, Chair, how is it that key people were restricted? When I mentioned key people were restricted, were not invited at the preliminary draw, I refer to people from sports bodies, sports clubs and federations, whilst the friends of the LOC were given priority over these key members. These are the issues, Chair, some of them that we need to have lines, rules in place. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. I think, Bula, those are things that we're talking about. And those are the things that we are going to interact with the LOC. I was in the preliminary draw there. It is said to be an African World Cup or an African draw. It was not an African draw. It was something from Western countries. It didn't have the flair that all of us were expecting, that the character of the 2010 World Cup is going to be the character, the flair of what the African continent is all about. And I think we must continue sensitizing people around that and all that. Comrade Kore is drawing me to attention that I never said Peter de Villiers is a kefir. I said probably in the views of these other people might view him in that way. That is why they are opposed to Peter de Villiers as a coach. So he's saying I must note that because the PMG might release it in a wrong way, then it causes a problem like it caused to Dr. Ivan Khoza. That is not the intention. The intention was that the color of Peter de Villiers cannot be something that makes other people having a different color from de Villiers to rise against de Villiers and make an objection. That is it is meant. Not that he's what I have said. No. I don't write about that PM. Okay. Now I'll give over to our visitors, and then you must just tell us who are they, and then we must hear. And then visitors, members are going to ask questions of clarity on this, so that we must understand your concept, we must understand what you have presented to us, so that even if this matter is taken to another level, we must be able to present it the way you have articulated to us, and be able to say to the minister and the department, we think this is a bad program because it's got this other thing, or it's a good program. It will enhance us for sport in this country, and this is what should happen. So you must not take it in a spirit of people were grilled. No. Just take it in a spirit of we ask more questions. And then if members are asking more questions, you must know it's an indication that they are not understanding what you are saying. But as soon as they keep quiet, you must know that you have given more clarity and therefore there are no questions there. So that is what I am. If I ask you more, you better be annoyed, but I don't understand. As soon as I keep quiet, I understand, then you must accept that it is true. Now you have convinced me on your fact. And I'll give over to you, to the leader of the delegation, and to them to us. Welcome the study time, but it's not David Isaacson. I want that white man. I want him one day. I so wish to meet with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I would like to thank the committee for granting us this opportunity to present to you our concept, and hope that it will make sense to you, and also hope that it will actually make a huge difference in terms of developing, you know, the talent that's good. I will take this opportunity to introduce my team to you. My name is Peter Mdanose, the director of Eco League of Prince. And the gentleman next to me here is Mark Linden.
Can you speak closer to that, because we're doing the recording, but times we're missing your words.
Mr. Mark Linden next to me here, he is an SRF, and he is currently in PSL Match Commissioner. He's our chartered accountant. He deals with all the. And next to Mr. Linden is Pemba Mlata, representing the city of Cape Town. And I've got Mark Field, who's our legal man, he's also the director of a political team. And I've got Duduzi Sikakana from Kali Communications, who actually helped me with our power. I will then hand over the opportunity to Ms. Maglin to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for giving us this opportunity. As Peter said, I was a PSL referee for 10 years, and I think I'm more nervous on this presentation than doing a Chiefs Pirates game, so at least I was in control of that one. But no, I'll do my best. I think it's important if you do ask questions if you don't understand. I mean, what we're trying to bring across today is a very simple concept. And the simple concept is to recognise and honour retired footballers from South Africa and from Africa. Okay, I think the concept is really to hold a high-profile annual gala event in Cape Town, where that would be linked to a permanent structure here in the city, which would be a visual representation and recognition of the retired footballers. And we say it's basically a footballer's promenade of fame. Now, this idea is not a new one. It's not a unique idea. Peter was in Europe 3 or 4 years ago, and each year in Europe they have the Golden Boot Award, and they actually honour retired world footballers in Monte Carlo. And in Monaco there is a walkway of retired footballers which they recognise. And similarly in Hollywood, you've got the Hollywood Walk of Fame for the film stars and whatever, where they actually put down in the street stars to actually recognise the famous film stars of the time. And what we're saying, we'd like to introduce an African concept to it, so it's an ongoing legacy after 2010, that people will actually recognise that we are taking note of the contribution that African footballers are putting onto the world football stage. The proposed arrangement is that Eagle Lady Footprints, you know, the legal ownership remains with them, but we say in the city of Cape Town, who we're hoping would be our link partner, would host an annual gala event and actually be responsible for promoting the permanent football tourism structure, the promenade, in Cape Town. We're saying progress to date on the idea is that obviously we've discussed it with the City of Cape Town, with SOFA, Western Cape, and with the City of Durban. And we mentioned Durban because obviously we went to Durban initially, and although they've agreed on the concept, it's been slow progress from their side. And we believe the City of Cape Town really taken up the idea, are keen to actually partner with us, and therefore we feel that our thrust should be with the City of Cape Town. All have indicated support for the idea at this stage, but we do note that we still need to get SOFA national approval, and we still need to get LOC approval. Obviously, one of their LOC projects is the legacy project, and we believe this is a legacy project which will go beyond 2010. Basically, very briefly, how this one would work, we're saying selection of inductees. We're saying initially we'd set up an eminently qualified panel of individuals who would select in the first year, put their heads together and select 20 possible candidates to be inducted into this Hall of Promenade of Fame. And that in the first year, which we're saying should be 2008, 12 of the 20 would be selected to be inducted, and that would go through a voting process. And we say that those 12, 6 should come from South Africa, and 6 should come from Africa. And we would look at deceased persons as well as currently alive persons, because we believe we've got persons who are no longer with us have paid a major contribution to African football, yet they have not been recognised in any way. And we'd like not to forget those people and actually build them into this programme as well, from a point of view of doing it, after their death. And then we're saying those 12 would be selected from a voting process. And obviously we've got to get going to further consideration on this voting process, but the general public would be involved in voting who they believe should be the inductees. And it's not just South Africa, it's the whole of the African continent. Thereafter, in 2009 and thereafter, we're saying 4 inductees would be coming to the walkway every year, 2 African and 2 South African. But we believe in the first year we should publicly recognise the fact that Messrs. Oliphant, Kwoza and Jordan have actually done something special to get 2010, and we'd like to make an award to them in the first year, and they be inducted in a, perhaps not in a footprint, but certainly in a sort of plaque or whatever on the walkway, to actually, just for prosperity's purposes, to say that we recognise the efforts they put in to get the World Cup to South Africa. The panel that we're saying who would select the 20 personnel, we've got certain names which obviously we would approach, and including in that would be the likes of Danny Jordan, Ivan Kwoza, Molefe Oliphant, Raymond Hack and Professor Ronnie Schloss. But also from the media side, because the media are actually quite important from a point of view of getting the word around, and we made suggestions there of Mark Leeson, Robert Marawa, Fatou Bereng Koyet, BBK, David Kakani and Thomas Malambo could be involved in selecting the 20 people that we want to actually end up in the voting process. Where this is advantageous to the city, now obviously this is where we've talked to the City of Cape Town, we're saying that they would be the holders or the promoters of a unique permanent football structure. It would be a visible legacy to honour retired African footballers, and it would be a tourist attraction as well for the city. Obviously, over time, this thing has been developed, and it may attract, well, certainly for World Cup spectators, it would attract people there to go and pay their respects to the famous people of the past. But on an ongoing basis, as the thing gets bigger, obviously it may become a tourist attraction in its own right. It would be an opportunity to host a high-profile gala event in the city, and obviously to be orchestrated and run by the highest-ranking official in the city, whoever that may be at the time. We're saying it is an opportunity for Cape Town to honour the African continent's footballing giants, and that could be from Cape Town to Cairo. And we're saying, obviously, there's nowhere else in Africa at the moment, no city in Africa is actually honouring the footballing giants within the continent, and therefore it would be a prestigious thing for Cape Town to actually be the holders of this honour. It would be a marketing opportunity for the city to gain wide exposure, and it would attract interest of international footballing fraternity, tourists and corporates. Where we see the benefit to local social and business communities is that if we're going to attract these high-profile inductees to the city, we would like to think that they will participate in football clinics in the local townships, be available for corporate marketing, and also be available for media interviews to build up the profile of the city. So overall, what we're saying is a very simple idea, but with a long-lasting legacy effect beyond 2010. We're saying it's a sustainable project into the future, which will become more prestigious over time. It will be a tourist attraction for football enthusiasts, and it is a definite positive way of recognising African footballing talent, which doesn't happen at the moment. And we feel that that's something which really needs to be addressed, and that we can't let 2010 come and go without us actually honouring the footballing greats of our continent. So basically, that's the concept in a nutshell. What we have delivered is a copy of the slides, and also a more detailed, we call it a business plan, but obviously a business plan needs to have more financial aspects, but certainly that's for you to peruse and really to give consideration to the concept itself. So on that, I hand over to Jason, who's going to talk a little bit more on the document, and we'll certainly answer as many questions as you want to request to us at the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Let's give over to the gentleman to speak also, and then so that at least you could be ready to take some questions of clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As my colleague just pointed out, the second document before you is not something that we put up on slides. It's more of a detailed exposition of the history of the event and the concept and how it came about. It goes into a little bit more detail as to the aims and objectives. I don't think we need to take too much time from the committee to go through this document. It's more to give the committee time to consider the proposal themselves. I think some of the important aspects of this concept are the community-based benefits that we're hoping to achieve. The gala dinner, which will be a focal point, would effectively be the pinnacle and endpoint of a long process that will hopefully generate certain funds and then also generate community initiatives that will allow us to provide some support for communities at grassroots level, for the possibility of junior academies for football specifically, and possibly sport in general, and then also to look at ex-players and the fact that I think there's a great perception, and I think it's a true perception, that ex-players in terms of professional football in this country often get left behind once they've stopped playing. We've had some news items about players that have died recently, and there's also been a lot of talk about players that have been neglected. And those are the concerns that we'd like to address from a community point of view. As to the document itself, just to repeat what Mark mentioned, the business proposal, we've called it a business proposal because we started out looking to put forward a proposal that made sense from financial and community and political and social point of view. What we found is that as we've gone through it, certain stages that we need to achieve before we get to things like a business plan would have to be met. So the document is called a business plan, but it's much more of an exposition on the history of this event, how the concept originated through Peter Mlalozi, a bit of his history, and effectively what we'd like to achieve. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Start Cora. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a few questions. Sorry. All of you, you'll answer questions. If it is a question that any one of you is competent to answer it, it's not going to be just the two people who presented or the three. All of you as a delegate, you are in a position to respond to questions. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, my first question is around Cape Town and Durban. You see, the problem which I have with everything which has been introduced in this country, it must go to the cities which are developed. The other provinces which are not developed, we don't give them a chance for anything. So that's my first question. And my second question is your first people which you are going to honor is the people who brought the 2010 to the country. It's Matthew Costa, Jordan Oliphant. But there are other people also who played a very significant role there, like the ambassadors, which we don't hear about them. We don't hear the role of the president of this country and the ex-president of this country, who were also very key in terms of making sure that we get this 2010. My other question is on your panel. Danny Jordan, Ivan Kosa, Mulifu Olifant, Raymond Heck, Ronnie Sloss. Are there no other people in soccer who can also be brought in? We just mentioned that the ex-players, there is no way that we use them. Now, they are only to be honored, but to play a role. That is my other question. On the panel which are going to this analyst and what have you, there also, you know, if you watch in rugby, you'll get new lighties being analysts there. Whereas you have your ex players who could also do a magnificent job. Now why do we not get these people involved? Not only to honor them when they are retired, but make use of their skills. How do you see them playing a role? Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes, Mama Makosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation and the concept. Chair, that is good to honor the people who've dedicated their lives for sport or whatever concept is it of the sport. But I wanted to check to say what is it that they have to say we are learning from the past, what they did for us. But again, to motivate our young people, if ever they've ever thought about it, I'm so keen, I mean, motivating them so that we have the future champions, we have the future people that one day we are going to be honored. Now, that Cora, covered me, we Kuma role players, role playing, I don't think we should just privatize it. It was so open. If we touch it, we must open it as wide as we can. But it was so open. There are so many people who played very key role for us to win this 2010. The panel, now I want really to check if maybe there are certain requirements of which not a single woman could fit. How can we reverse our policies as a country, having a gender blind panel in this really South Africa, of which we are looking forward for transformation and also uplifting women. If ever we think that women were behind this sport, I think it's high time that you uplift them now. Thank you. Thank you.
Pula? Thank you, Chair. I've been covered partly. But, Chair, I just wanted to check with the... indeed, we welcome the presentation. The concept is excellent, so that our heroes are not forgotten. But what saddens my heart, Chair, is that we only hear of sports heroes and heroines from particular societies. And at the outset, when the gentleman elaborated on developing talent at grassroots, I really thought that he has something coming for the disadvantaged areas. Now, I don't want to get into a confrontational debate with my colleague, but yes, Durban has been mentioned in passing. I want you to elaborate as to what is staggering the process. The other area is, since Durban has been mentioned, you have included in your presentation that clinics in the rural areas. Could you inform us as to what extent is that a reality? Have you commenced with something of that, or it's just a presentation? But Chair, the other area is we must also welcome the issue of the 10 years, or the 10 years in refereeing. Because earlier on, you know, Baba Kora wanted to assault the referees and all because of the quality of the games that we see now. But to improve the quality of games and also to bring about this transformation that we have right high on the South African agenda, of this talent of 10 years refereeing, and that the presentation revolves around grassroots, imparting knowledge and skills to inculcate a culture of sport among the disadvantaged. What of those skills have been utilized in the rural component to bring about skills and knowledge of understanding the game of refereeing? Ultimately, we will get respect in the game of sport. But here, I also think that we are putting the cart before the horse. Indeed, we have to endorse and get the approval or buy-in from the LOC and SAFA as well. But the concept is good. We don't want to throw the concept away because it's going to be dealing with facts. Yeah, the other area which my colleague has said, the issue about bringing the World Cup to South Africa. Let us not forget, never in history have any World Cup went to a third world country. Let us not forget that. And we must give due respect to individuals, not only that has been mentioned, but the roles that our president and other individuals in the country played in finalizing and bringing this national triumph to South Africa. I want you to also elaborate on the issue of academies. How do you see yourself getting involved in academies, and what is going to be your role? Because, Chair, we have specified the role of academies in terms of legislation. So I wanted to know, whilst academies have been mentioned, will it duplicate or otherwise? Chair, other than then, yeah, I'm very much grateful for the presentation. Thank you.
It's up to you, and then take those questions, and then we'll take another round.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Firstly, I would like to go back to when I started this whole, what gave birth to this this project today. I was born in Soweto, and I grew up in the dusty streets of Soweto, where we grew up and we did our studies at the time under candlelight. We had no electricity, we had nothing. We had to rely at the time on radio. At the time, if I remember, I still remember well, we had only Radio Zulu that was broadcasting football in this country. So, in terms of honoring, you know, the people that contributed to our football in this country, there's so many of them. This has actually been trimmed down to what it is today, because we looked at the whole program, if we were to include everyone. But I looked at this as giving birth to a lot of those opportunities to honor our people that actually kept us going during those dark days when we had nothing else but to rely on football. We had people like, if I remember, there was Teta Masumbuga, Elijah Teta Masumbuga, who could actually take you to Orlando Stadium inside, sitting at home. I listened to a program last year on Robert Marawa. One blind man from Mpumalanga said, through listening to the commentary on the radio, he could actually visualize and see what was happening on the field. Now, those are the people that we still need to honor and actually, honor for actually keeping us going in this country. Now, when I first came to Cape Town, that was in 1997, looking at Cape Town being racially divided, I started a backpackers in Greenpoint, which gave me an opportunity to actually, interact and mix with people that were coming from all corners of this world that came to Cape Town. As part of my marketing strategy at the time, I used to provide free airport pickups. And in and around the city, I used to actually provide free transport in an attempt to penetrate into the market. I started my businesses from zero with no cent in my pocket. But I actually used my brains to penetrate, because I looked at the market and I said, when a lot of, especially white people, came and asked me, why don't you go to your government? I said, my government will find me on the way. I believe it's our duty on the ground to make sure that we wipe clean the face of us black people in this world, so that people see us, who we are and where we come from. And during my transportation, I used to conduct my own research and interviews, to find out from people who come out of this country what they think about us as people. And I realized that at the time we were selling, the beauty of Cape Town. We were selling all places of interest, Table Mountain, Cape Point and the rest. But we were not selling us as people to the world. And I then looked around when September 11 happened. I looked at our country and I said, in terms of our currency, that made it easy for other people to come and, enjoy the facilities that we have in this country. Then I took an opportunity to establish a soccer tournament just to bring together, our visitors to interact with our own people. I used to actually, pass in teams from as far as South Bay and around the Cape Town, black teams. I'm talking about teams from Zambia too. I also formed my own black soccer team that came from the township. I used to pass youngsters from as far as Khayelitsha, to come and play a game of football. And I insisted in using the Greenpoint Stadium, because I thought those were facilities that needed to be used by us people that were always used by, you know, so-called white teams at the time. So that actually developed to a point where it actually, you know, I first organized an inter-backpacker tournament where I grouped all the backpackers in and around. I was the only black man that actually had a backpacker, you know, in the city. But I grouped them all into a game of soccer where they all brought, it always happened in December, around December, when all the visitors were in Cape Town. And that actually attracted, you know, the tourism department in Cape Town. That was the Western Cape Tourism Board at the time and the Cape Town Tourism. That actually began to support me. And then later, all the backpackers actually came back to me and said, Peter, look, this has to be an annual event. But now then at the time, the visitors chose to actually play, you know, to group themselves according to their countries and play against one another because it actually picked up interest. That's when I was then exposed to the people like Carlos Dunga because at the time there was Cheryl Lozinski and Mike Fabricius that actually, you know, gave me the support. And I managed now to attract players like Dunga from Brazil, who's currently the national coach there, Caniggia from Argentina, and I got connected to Schillaci from Italy and Massaro. I actually wanted to invite them to come and participate and play with their, you know, fellow countrymen when they're actually in the game of soccer, in an attempt to expose our culture and show them how we live. Because I found out that when, you know, the people came to the expected us to be in the bushes with the big fights of all this world. But when they realized that a black man like myself could provide accommodation, security, you know, even take them around the city free of charge when the big guys of this cater couldn't do it for free, it actually gave a different impression. I found out when they left going back home, they go back home with a different impression of a black man in this country. And I saw that as an opportunity for me to actually continue and develop what I thought was a game of soccer which actually brings a lot of people together. So I hope that answers your question. That all that happened in Cape Town, and especially as a young man, I actually looked at it, you know, from Johannesburg, we fought. You know, we fought physically, we fought, you know. And I actually started as a building contractor, building, fighting to see our people, you know. When we grew up in Soweto, we had no bathrooms, we had no toilets. But in 1984, we started building, outbuildings, we were, you know, and we actually built bathrooms and toilets for our people to enjoy those facilities at the time. So when I came to Cape Town alone, I decided, look, I have to fight and see to it that, you know, I make a difference in this world. So this is the reason of me doing this in Cape Town as well, and to ensure that, you know, we look at developing the talent from the grassroots, you know, in the city. So when it comes to the panel, I have Mike Mangena, who was supposed to be here this morning. He actually finished late last night. He couldn't get a flight last night because of the soccer zone. He's part of this team. He was with us when we actually presented the city of Cape Town. This is not final. It's just a concept that we've actually brought to you to actually let you see the idea that we have behind this whole thing. But we haven't finalized it. There's so much that we're still going to go through and alter. And another thing, all these questions are actually an eye-opener to us. It opens us. There are ladies, I have ladies. The thing is that sometimes, you know, we run out of funds. Because if I can tell you from when I started this thing, the only people that actually funded me was AXA. I got only 50,000. But from 1999, I actually have been funding this whole thing from my own pocket to a point where I even ran out of business. I had to rely on this gentleman, Jason Frill, at some point, a friend of mine who was assisting me legally. Had to dump me because I couldn't afford his fees. This gentleman 3 years ago came on board and said to me, Peter, I'll actually assist you legally. You don't have to pay me for as long as actually we see this thing through. Mr. Mark Lindsay, who was actually with Deloitte & Touche for 24 years, when I first spoke to him about my soccer tournament, he took it up and he actually put one guy on it to develop it, to see it. This is why I've got him here today. So, yeah, we have a lot of actually, you know, like I said, this, I looked at this as something that's going to give back to a lot of, it's going to filter down and give back to a lot of opportunities. I hope that answers. In terms of Durban, we presented to Durban last year. I actually have been running around, you know, I've had problems, like, you know, keep penetrating to a lot of people, problems in Cape Town. Like I say, you know, because of the division, racially. I ended up like talking to one of the guys in Durban, and they picked up interest and wanted us to come and present. We went to go and present in Durban. But now, the program Devon, they wanted to this to be part of the opening of the stadium, which only happens next year. But my idea, I wanted this footprint because, you know, I want to create a whole of a walk of faith, you know, that will actually start as early as maybe this year. So that's the reason why we actually had to give it. And then Cape Town came back to me, the city of Cape Town, and said, look, look, stop Devon. As you know, that, you know, Cape Town and Devon are, you know, in competition. They decided not to take them.
Can
we
talk specifically
about
cities, why the major cities and not the rural areas. I think of a concept like this, it needs to get as much exposure nationally and internationally as possible. And therefore, obviously, when one looks at the tourist traffic that comes into the country, and it obviously it's got an African flavour, not just a South African flavour, we're saying that obviously the tourism focal centres are Durban and Cape Town, and really that's why those two cities were targeted. I mean, Johannesburg is probably the biggest football city we've got in this country, but obviously we're saying this is not just a local thing, it's an international thing, and we believe Durban, and obviously our prime preference now is Cape Town, would be a more suitable venue, and it would be up to the city to decide whereabouts in the city this particular attraction could be. With regard to the panel and the honouring of the certain people, I totally agree. There are not just Danny Jordan, Ivan Kwoza, and Malefi Oliphant, who have done worked a lot, and obviously the ex-president, significant role he played, and certainly I'm of the view that we need to be open-minded about who should be recognised, but we felt it is important in the first year to actually honour certain people who have made a big impact, and obviously we'd be open to suggestions who other people should be recognised. With regard to ladies on the panel of choosing the inductees, I totally agree. I mean, we mustn't take out the fact that ladies also play a big role in our football in this country. And obviously, women's football now is coming to the fore, and it's becoming more of an international thing, and therefore, we shouldn't close our minds to that fact as well. And if there are, I mean, obviously, our women's football is relatively young, in actual physical football is young in comparison to other countries around the world, but that doesn't mean we can't honour those people who've already done fine service for the country and for the game. And one needs to look at females as well, who have played an active role behind the scenes over the last 50 years or whatever. So yes, I think we mustn't be mindful of the fact that it's not just a male dominated thing, and certainly the panel perhaps should have female representation on to make sure we get a balanced viewpoint. So I would support that role. Who those persons on the panel should be, that's something we need to consider. With regards to, we mentioned the clinics and the rural areas, what have we done? Is it just a reality, or is it something we put into the proposal document? Well, certainly as we speak today, I mean, we've got guys in from Germany. We've been involved in the Bay Hill tournament this weekend. We've got a German team who have been working in Guguletta and Kailitsch for the last 2 weeks doing clinics there. So it is a reality. And we're saying that if a team from Frankfurt can come over and be involved in the townships, if we get people of the likes of Kaiser Motong or Jomo Sono being inducted, hopefully that if they go and present themselves in the township, together with the SAFA structures, I mean, this must be done in conjunction with the SAFA structures, we can certainly get a big impact out in the townships there. And certainly if you go to KZN or whatever, then obviously you've got your local players, local ex-players there who are famous in their townships, and we really should be, you know, perhaps thinking of those guys as well. As for the 10 years refereeing, you asked what skills we're putting back into the community. Well, certainly from a refereeing side, we're running regular workshops. I'm involved in SAFA examination board trying to upgrade and develop the referees, because quite honestly, as you know, a referee can actually make or break a game. And I mean, I've been in Durban as well myself with the Chiefs Amazulu game and had bottles thrown, and it's quite an experience. But it's quite an experience. But it's part and parcel of our football, which we really don't want to see prior to 2010. We don't want to see the referees being inadequate. I mean, we've got to get up to world-class standards, and therefore, my view is on that score, we've got to start at the grassroots level. People who are 20, 25 years of age now can make it to the top, and therefore, we are playing an active role to try and develop the younger referees in the country to actually aspire to greater things. And the academies, well, obviously, I think the project we're putting on the table today is just a small microcosm of what we want to do. Academies and what have you are very important, but I think we'd be actually taking the focus of what we want to do by actually going into detail on academies that we want to do. But certainly we believe that academies are critical to actually develop the grassroots and actually make sure we've got a solid foundation for our future footballers. And obviously we'll play a part. I don't see in this sort of presentation the academy side of it being the critical aspect of the presentation. It's more to honour and recognise the past people who haven't been recognised to date. And we feel that is not correct.
Mr. Chair, just some general comments. I don't want to... I think that my colleagues have addressed the issues that were raised in detail enough. I think the important thing from our point of view here today is that what we've put forward is the seed for this concept, and we're hoping that it'll grow into something a lot bigger. The idea was to put forward the idea and get some idea of what this committee's thoughts regarding the concept are, to get your endorsement so that we can go out and we can start to put together all of the structures that need to be put into place to make things like the academies happen. When it comes to some of the specific points, and I think I'll just reiterate one or two points, it is a concept document, so for sure that the panels and the original inductees and the way that the structure is set up is not a finite, it's not a finite plan at this point. It's effectively a way to put forward what we propose. So the names of the actual panel members are, I think, should not be the focal point of this. And certainly we would not look to be gender biased, race biased, or biased in any other fashion. I think this panel needs to be constituted on contributions to the community, on professional skill, on knowledge. And that's what we'll look to do in setting up these panels. There were one or two other questions which might bear consideration. Mr. Chair, I think you raised the first issue or one of your colleagues. Why in the developed centres? I think in order to give this concept the exposure it needs to be able to grow to the point where it's able financially to put significant money into the rural communities, we need to have a focal point. And it's the path of least resistance is to have the focal point in a place that people have already focused on to some point. And if we spread it too wide at the beginning, we might find that we're too thin on the ground to be able to put the money that we need into those communities. And the idea would certainly be not to prejudice any of those communities in terms of what this concept can yield, in terms of the funds and the funding that can go into those communities. And I think from my point of view, and I think that my colleagues will bear me out, if we can get this concept off to a good enough start with the international recognition that it deserves, it's our best opportunity to put the funding in place to help the communities that you've mentioned, the rural communities. So it's in no way a form of prejudice against going out into the rural communities. We just feel that it's probably the best way to generate the kind of support that we're going to need to put the money into those communities that will actually end up assisting them. Ma'am, you mentioned earlier issues of how to motivate young people and how to learn from the past. I think one of the most important ways of learning from the past is to keep looking at the past, to make sure that people don't forget. And in dealing with these previous legends, we will deal with their personal histories and the histories that surrounded them and what was going on in the country at the time and what they had to overcome. And I think that keeping young people aware of what the past was and not letting them forget that is very important, and it is an aspect that this will address. As to the question surrounding the Durban and Cape Town issue, we've addressed both cities, and we've effectively had a more positive response to date and a more official response from Cape Town. I think Peter's been quite keen on Cape Town being his home currently, and he's mentioned it before in other presentations. You might view Cape Town as a gateway to Africa, the right at the foot of Africa, and we're looking from the bottom to the top. We're looking at Africa as a continent, not only South Africa. So we'd like to, you'd like to keep that on the table. Of course, no doors are closed. Again, we haven't removed the idea from Durban. We've had to move on to keep it going so that it doesn't just fizzle out and die. So I think that's quite important that we're clear on that again. Again, no prejudice against Durban. We felt that Durban would be a very viable venue. We just haven't managed to penetrate far enough there, and I don't think that's from lack of trying. And then, yes, just to touch on the fact that Mark mentioned, I think the focal point of the beginning of this is to honor those legends. The community-based issues are something that will come from the success of the project. As the project succeeds, so we will be able to put into place more permanent structures regarding academies. And those are things we can't, unfortunately, deal with here. If we're going to be completely open and honest, we need to have a bit more history behind the event before we can start putting those processes in place. So, yeah, that's it. And just lastly, to close off, just to reiterate, this again is it's a seed that we're looking to plant, and we're hoping that it'll grow into something a bit more, or into a big tree that everyone can benefit from. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Bangilizwe Solo and Makosi. Yes, Bangi.
First, I want to apologize for being late in the meeting because I catch a flight that I thought would bring me here at 9 o'clock. Unfortunately, it came at 10 to 10. We have no control over that.
I'd already apologized for you.
Thanks very much. I've noted and I've gone through this document. I could not be part of the presentation. But I think the idea is very good to as part of promoting tourism and interacting and exposing our culture and whatever we have in the country. I just have got about three questions. One question, though there was an indication that there's a lot of progress that has been made with the city of Cape Town, I would be more interested to understand what kind of progress is that. I see here today that there are a host of events that are listed. Are these activities going to happen throughout the year, or are just going to be a one-off event that would be staged? And the final thing here that I wanted to say. Is the very concept as well that it should be broadened if we look into who we honor, really we involve the diversity of our community and all those that have played part, but not to limit it to some certain prominent individuals. There are forgotten heroes out there, and I think the organization look at its own research unit and take the community on board in this regard. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I wanted to assure Nyanda Yepal that we do appreciate. We do appreciate for the work done. But our concerns are behind the point whereby you take the grade one. When the grade one learned to write with the left hand, he or she will be always using the left hand. Now, I don't want to openly say we are proud of you, but in a way, because now we still looking for people like you, Nyanda Yepal, who are going to be conscientized for the previously marginalized and disadvantaged people. Because we know that if you are based in Cape Town, we've got townships in Cape Town. Yes, of course, they were disadvantaged, but not like the people outside there. Now, if you start writing now with your right hand, of which you are looking forward to, we know that your concept will begin to address, I mean, the outstanding issues of our own people that we are representing here. Of course, you're representing everybody, but it wouldn't be right to move with the few and leaving the rest behind. And we wouldn't love you to see your departure point moving towards joining
the existing choir, whereby if a very good artist stays in KwaZulu-Natal, can be successful, he or she is compelled to move to Johannesburg. No? So we want people to be successful where they are. So we think maybe if people like you, with the history that you told us when you started the whole thing, to say one day they are going to address with your board as well. When you mention the people from your board who just volunteered with their skills, no, that to me, those people somehow, somewhere, they've got a vision. Now it's a matter of fine-tuning it, you know. And again, Nyanga Yepayo, it's not only the panel. It's not only the panel, but even your board. If you can start writing with your right hand from now on.
Just wonder, what is Nyanga Yepayo? Later. We'll tell you, Nyanga Yepayo. We'll tell you. Yes. Yes, Makosi, go on.
Yes. Even your panel, if you can start your board members. I can see that it's just people who are just volunteers. But I still believe that you can have, we've got a lot of women who love sport, who've been involved in sport previously, who may be retired by now, whom can dedicate themselves. Like everyone in this board, if your board can have one or two women, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Chair, I might not know if it is Zulu, but the member sitting next to me is from KZN, and I was asking him the same question. And he says to me, it means the one who comes from a family of kindred chief. Is that correct? Nyanga Yepayo.
No.
Thank you, Chair. I told him it's wrong.
No. Okay. Chair. No, Bula, don't argue about that. Please.
I told him he's
yes.
wrong.
No, Bula, keep quiet.
Yes. I might come from Kimberly, but no, Bula. Please, don't mislead.
Okay, Chief, go on, okay.
Chair, I just wanted to say to Makosi, when we talk about left-handers, we must be careful, because the chairperson is left-handed.
Pula.
Yes, Chair. Chair, as the presentation indicated, it's a concept. And I have no doubt that the views had been taken into consideration. And obviously, you will go and sift it and share it. But yes, I think, Chair, the issue of Cape Town and given exclusive rights is a area for consent. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe I'm using it. Yes, I'm left-handed. We'll talk with KC after this meeting. But I just want to be upfront on this. The concept that you presented to us around the legacy programs and the involvement of the ex-soccer players, I can say to you without hesitation, we welcome it. And the minister is one proponent of that kind of a situation. He would be excited to receive you and learn and hear about what are you trying to do around the issues of the ex players? We have one thing that we called in our department the recreation part of sport. What you are presenting to us is part of the education and the recreation part of the sport. Because if you call those captains of the Brazil, Italy, and all those who have retired, are not going necessarily to play a very competitive sport, but they are going to play entertainment, which is part of our core function as sports and recreation, which is recreation. And the question of the three children who at some stage went to Italy for the World Cup and all that. It started as a recreational program. And finally it ended up exposing these children to other levels of a very competitive type of sport. So I'm saying this concept is a correct concept. It's good, it's right. Both the department and the minister. This lady next to my left hand side, she's the minister parliamentary liaison officer. She will, by the end of this day, have informed the minister that we have welcomed this concept. And we have requested you to make an appointment with both the DG of the department and the minister. As people that at some stage where you need funds and others are the people that are going to be able to assist you on those kind of things. So it will be important for them also to be exposed to this kind of a concept that you are raising. But I just want to say to you, this kind of a concept, when it talks about the Hall of Fame or the Walk of Fame, is not the first concept to be presented to us. 3 years ago, there was a concept presented to us by the ex-players of the Bafana Bafana and one of the captain of the teams was Nasbuat, who was the captain of the Springbok team that was playing before the 1994 during the François Pinard time. They presented the concept of the Hall of Fame. And they are having the Hall of Fame. It's 3 years that they've been inducting people that they want to remain in their Hall of Fame and in the plaque that they are doing for remembrance of those kind of Hall of Fame. But one thing that we have requested them and the minister requested them to do, we asked them first. We're having what you call the Freedom Park. A Freedom Park is a memory of all the heroes across the spectrum. Heroes, political heroes, heroes in sports, both Okaya Majola in cricket and others. When you go to Dr. Wale Serote in Freedom Park, there are names of those legends that have been engraved there in the Freedom Park for memory of the freedom that those people have laid their life for. And therefore, the role of the Freedom Park, so that there should be no duplication, was very important. And therefore, the Hall of Fame went there, they came back. They said, no, they have discussed with Dr. Wale Serote. And the issues of sport in the Hall of in the Freedom Park have now been put in a certain format. We have not gone back to the Freedom Park since we, as a committee, went there once. But we know that that is the case. So you will have to do more work. That you have to go and check with the existing Hall of Fame, which is led by Nas Buda, Puti Jinkonki, and Phil Masinga and others. I think Mike Mangena knows, because at some stage when those people came here, Mike Mangena was present. So, and that concept was present. But there was some objection that it is not what they wanted it to be and all that. I don't have a problem with those things, but we appreciate it as a committee, the concept of the Hall of Fame. Then one thing that was raised by the committee was that the Hall of Fame cannot be in Cape Town, only in NYSMA, if you can recall. And they agreed immediately that the Hall of Fame will be in 9 provinces as a replica. But the main Hall of Fame will be in Johannesburg and in NYSMA in Cape Town. I think 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, they got what you call the ROD for the building of some of their program in NYSMA around the Hall of Fame, because they're rushing for the 2010 on the Hall of Fame. Part of the concept that they're having is the things that we're having, where we've encouraged them to link up with the Sports Theater, which is theater, for them to have skills development, that the coach must also link with those, that, because there is a lot of money in theater there that is not used for coaching development, for administration development and all that. But we've seen recently that it is now better used, because there is a way of producing those quality referees in both rugby and in cricket through that program of the skills development program, which is linked to some of these academies that you're talking about. The other thing that you spoke about is academy. Honourable Member spoke about the Act, which is called the Sports and Recreation Amendment Act. We have tried to harmonize a mushrooming of sports academies in this country, which have no same standard, variation of standard. And then if it's a sports academy in Johannesburg, and then it's different from the one in the Free State and in Cape Town, and all, we said no, you can't, when you have a BA degree, then it is different from any other BA degree of any other university. Or if you have a Standard 10 certificate, then it is said your Standard 10 certificate is inferior, like the Bantu education is inferior than this other Standard 10 certificate. I said, no, there should be standard of this academy, so that any other child who walks into an academy must know that I'm working in an academy which is, they have the same standard as the one in Johannesburg, the one in Cape Town, the one in KwaZulu-Natal. So that act was trying to harmonize that, because you'd see a pattern of exodus of people moving from a certain academy, going to Pretoria High Performance Center as the best, or to Potchefstroom as the best, and all those other things, because standards were almost different. There were no same standards. Then he said, no, I think it should be same standard, the nonsense standard around the issues of the academy. Now, in pursuit of what you're doing, one of the things that we have to look into is through the department on how have they discussed the question of standardization of these academies that you also want to put in place there. So the Hall of Fame is existing. There is a Hall of Fame. There are people that are inducted. Kalamazoo, I think you remember that there were quite a few of those people inducted. I was in the 2 years of those induction in Emperor's Palace for 2 successive years. So there's quite of those people that were there. Now, it would be correct, and so that you speak to those people and see what is this that they're doing that you don't do and all that, so that we must not say we are supporting other people and others we don't support and all that. We must know that there is no duplication, there is nothing, it's the same thing. If people are having taxis throughout the country, anybody buys a taxi, there is no duplication, because the market is so huge and all that. So that we can check what is this that we really we have to give you a support on, and rather than duplicating all these other things. I think those are things that we have to check, explain to me around those Hall of Fame, and whether you know about it, and whether probably you know that you have to also meet with the Freedom Park and discuss these matters, and then if you have met with them, what are they saying? Because I know they will always communicate with us around your meeting with them. And the concept that you're speaking about of the ex-players' involvement and all that, one thing that is lacking in your presentation, but you must pardon me if I didn't understand it very clearly. Many a presentation of the legacy program, and the legacy programs that are linked to a livelihood of the ex-players, not just for ceremonial, but at least they should be involved in a sort of jobs, because majority of these ex-players, at times you find that they don't have anything to live on, but he was a hero, he was one of a person was entertaining the world, and at the end of the day there's nothing. But in a concept of the Hall of Fame that was linked there, the presentation and everything that just like in Robben Island, people were telling you about the history of football and the footballers themselves who were in that generation Peter you spoke about. And if it was the generation of the 1995 when South Africa won the first World Cup, and then it should be presented to us by that generation, because they don't read the history the way themselves, the writers of that history of that time. So those and you create some of a little employment for them, because there'll be people touring there. People would like to know about this thing that you're talking about, and people would like to know because there's complete distortion in this country. When you read a book written by Andre Odenda, he speaks about the existence of black people in cricket as early as the 18th century, in 1805, through the missionary in the Eastern Cape and all that. But people are distorting that. They're saying, no, it is not true. Cricket has just come now as a white thing, which is not correct. It's a complete distortion. Cricket has been played by black people in as early as 1805. And there's nothing wrong in today when we say, but we have excluded them. And this cricket has been something that they've been growing with it for years. And then why now are you making it as an exclusive terrain? And then people think that, no, we are talking about very unreasonable things. Mm-hmm. And that kind of an important history is good, because it makes us to understand that, no, this is something that has been here with us for some time, and people have been involved in this kind of sport. It is not a new thing. So those are some of the things that really I want you to. But the other thing that I didn't get very clear, you're saying you need a SAFA approval for you to have, I don't know whether to have a Hall of Fame or whether to have this concept or what. I don't understand. What is this that you need from SAFA in your own concept? Because there's somewhere where you said, you need the SAFA. With us, there's no way that we can forbid anybody coming up with a program as Parliament. But we have to check that program. Is it sensitive? Is it in line with the laws that are existing of the country, which Makosi raises, and many of those things? One of the central objectives that you as people are trying to build that legacy is to preserve the history of sport in this country, is to preserve all what ourselves have gone through in the sports time. And the second thing is that, to what extent, when we are creating these kind of things, are we involving ourselves in the central objective of government to create employment for two people as the organization? That is what that is a central thing that we ourselves are interested in, and whether it's a good project or not a good project, and that for as long as it talks on those things, And then he says, it talks to us, it talks to our hunger, it talks to our poverty, it talks to our job creation agenda, and therefore we have no reason to can say, no, that project can't be a correct project at any time. Yes, yes, but I didn't interrupt you when you're speaking.
When we speak, we must not use taxi industry as an example unless you want to be held before the Human Rights Commission.
I withdraw, not like the taxi, because I was saying anybody wants to have a taxi, and then he can have a taxi for as long as he qualifies to have a license and all those things. I withdraw, Honorable Chief. I withdraw. The other thing is that Cape Town has the exclusive right. See, it has some sort of the monopoly in itself. It's embedded with the monopoly that it cannot be anywhere else in the Free State. You see, the MEC for the Free State, who is the chair of the ANC there, broke the deliberate monopoly. Deliberate monopoly of the sports awards, which were ever in Gauteng since they were inception up until now. Except no, it cannot be. And the Free State taken them for 3 years. But it must be something that other people also have to associate with and own up to that kind of the sports awards. Now, because now you're creating an understanding that the Gauteng must know that it has the sole monopoly of the sports award. And that thing said, no, it cannot be the case. Now, I do not understand the reason. Maybe there is more reason to that. But the reason that the lawyer is trying to give, that Cape Town was upfront. Nobody would be upfront on a concept that he doesn't understand. But as soon as that concept is trying to flourish, blowing, and everybody like to say, we want you at least to us, and then we are ready as KwaZulu-Natal. We're fans for that. Can you come? Also, we must have that kind of a thing in our own province. And KwaZulu-Natal will say that, and Limpopo will say that, and all that. And therefore, you can't say, no, it is only exclusively the rights of it are only the rights for Cape Town. No. I think you must look into that. You must check into that. But it has some sort of a certain monopoly in it. I've spoken about academies and the panel. I've heard what the gentleman was talking about the panel. I think your answer is fine. You cannot, you must not talk about, because I was going to say, what is this that you need, because you call people for the nominations and the votes, probably. And people are nominating Peter Mdlalose, the majority of the people. Then you have a panel. What is the work of that panel? Particularly when the work of that panel is these gentlemen. With due respect, they have all the knowledge and all that. But I do not think it can only be the sole right of them as the sole bearers of sports in this country, that can also even have a determination in a panel for adjudicating what the people have voted for. I do not think that it is correct. We are elevating them too much.
Yeah, a point of clarity there, Mr. Chair. I think the idea of the panel was to put forward the initial selection of inductees, but the final decision would be the general public. At the end of the day, it wouldn't be the panel who then look at what the public are saying and make their decision, because we agree. It'd be too much responsibility and authority given to that panel. And we're saying they're the ones who've got to give the initial ones, and then the public must decide who they believe are the recipient, the worthy recipients have been honoured and recognised.
Okay. Yeah. You see, in the Hall of Fame, the federation and people who are following that particular sporting code are the one that says, in canoeing, as the followers of the canoeing, it's us who are putting a name of Peter Mdlalose, and then all those who follow that sport will be doing that. And sports people in KwaZulu-Natal, the Safa people there in that region, in Mpumalanga and elsewhere, even if this your concept includes other sporting code, it cannot be a determination of that panel who is supposed to be a candidate for rugby or for cricket and all that. It is that code itself that is putting forward that particular person. So, and even if what you are presenting, say, you're trying them to put that, I do not think that they be competent enough to can put a candidate for cricket there and say it could be Makaya Ntini when it could be Nell in the views of other people. But that particular court will be in a position to say, with us as cricket, we think this is the name that we're giving to you that people must put in a level of all other people that are going to be voted and say, us, this is a person that we're going to vote. Football will say, us is this. Rugby will say, us is this. And all of them, you put them on the same level and then people will vote and the majority would make a determination. It is up to them, probably, who do some assessment and all that. But now that you're coming from related Twitch, that would be a better work that can be done by that independent entity rather than be done by these gentlemen. But all the same, I'm just saying those things. It is befitting for the federation themselves to put forward that name so that the followers of that federation and of that sporting code are the people that are going to vote at the end of the day. Because if it is in clubs, and then it is said we must put a team that has many followers, definitely people of this country will not say Kaizer Chiefs. I can rest assure you, they'll say Bloemfontein Celtics. But the panel there will say no, it should be a different team. But the reality is, do we see how many people when a particular team is playing there? I'm just making for an example. You see, and everybody will say, but it is true, that it can't be this other team, but this one is correct. So those are some of the things that we just saying. They almost bring a fair player when you are a referee. They bring a fair play when you do those kind of things.
They
go wherever. Celtic supporters are confined in Bloemfontein. No, I don't know that. But the 2010, members are raising something very important, but I want to share with you this before you leave. When the bid for the 2010 was done by SAFA Underground, when now it comes to the crunch, then they're supposed to be awarded the 2010 World Cup. No, the previous one of Dempsey, 2006. Whilst many people are saying the government interference in football or in sport is not right, when that time came, there was supposed to be an attachment of a letter that has been signed by the President of the Republic of South Africa that says we support the question of the 2006 World Cup. All the nonsense has gone of government involvement and interference in sport. It needed the powers that might be to agree that we support the question of the 2010 World Cup. Then it went on like that. Then government had to support that at the end of the day, where government was never involved, was never even informed about the intention of having the 2010 World Cup. But when it comes to crunch time, government was requested to have that supporting document to say we supported the 2010 World Cup. And then, because we are not bad people, we gave that, and then we supported that. And then we were behind the 2006 bid. We lost it by one vote. And therefore, the 2010 World Cup, for us to be awarded that, It had never, I want to say, it had never been an entirely something that has to rest with the South African Football Association. In South Africa and in Africa, it will never be. In Germany, it was the matter of the Football Association. In France, it was the matter of the Football Association, because those football associations have money, they have infrastructure, they have resources to can host the World Cup. The World Cup is not hosted by government. A World Cup is hosted by the association of the football in a particular country. But here in this country, the South African Football Association and the teams that are existing here will not build these stadiums that were built as government if we're not involved. There would have never been a World Cup if government would say, no, we're not in a position to assist in building the 9 stadiums, 5 new stadiums, and renovation of the other stadiums. There would never be. The government would have not said, our program for now in our agenda, it is not to renovate Bloemfontein Airport, Cape Town Airport, Johannesburg Airport, and all other airports. We have other social responsibilities of the people who don't have housing outside there. SAFA would have not done that. So the question of the World Cup in the African continent and in South Africa, with the exclusive of government as perceived involvement in sports, please, it's a dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Because if government cannot get involved on those things, and then there will never be a World Cup. So it can't just be a glory for people. There is one activist and a hero of the people of Guinea-Bissau who says, claim no easy victory, tell no lies, claim no easy victory. Yeah. We are not claiming easy victory and tell lies. We are telling hard facts that the involvement of the South African government has created opportunity for the World Cup to exist in this country. It is not by SAFA. It can't be not by them. If it is by them, it could only by 2%, by 98%, it is through this government that the football and the World Cup would become what it's going to be, and it's going to be the best World Cup ever. And you can go to any other country, they will not be able to do it without the government assistance in the African continent. Because federations and the associations in the countries are not having the capacity to go through that. You can check the capacity of the South African Football Association. When it's got the capacity that is required for it to be able to deal with issues of the World Cup, it's not. So I'm just saying, many people that I got an opportunity to tell them the truth, I tell them the truth, like yourself. Because many people are saying, oh, Denis Jordan is a power. He has brought the World Cup. Oh, Khoza has brought the World Cup. It's not true. South African government acceded and agreed on the World Cup and signed 10 guarantees, 12 now, so that there should be conditions laid for the World Cup to exist in South Africa through the Department of Sports and Recreation. Thank you,
Can I just respond very quickly by saying I totally agree with what you're saying there. I think we did mention in our presentation that we needed approval from SAFA and from LOC, and that really is a matter of courtesy, because they are the mother body of football matters, and this is a football matter that we want to honour the legends of the past here. So it would be a matter of courtesy to just say, this is what we'd like to do, rather than asking permission, because we understand that it's... it is a bigger thing than just SAFA or LOC. And we do appreciate the government's involvement. And we understand fully where government support this World Cup would never have come to South Africa.
No, we appreciate that. I think it's just that I wanted to know. Because I was worried that they are the key, they are the alpha and the omega to your program. That was what I was worried about. But if you say, yes, they are custodians of football, at least you have a responsibility to inform them of what extent would be your participation in what it is called their own terrain. I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that. But I thought that really it is them who give thumbs up for your project. I was worried a little bit, but it's okay. I think I encourage you to interact with them and present to them what is the concept and tell them that we said, we want this legacy project. We want you to go and interact with other people that are having this, so that the next time when you come, very soon in 2 months time or a month time, you must tell us that, have you discussed with other people that are having a similar concept? Where do you find yourself in, so that we must not do the duplication? And then if you do that, then it will be able to have a way forward now on this matter. I'm finishing here. Do you want to say something, because I've got the last word?
I'm struck by a heavy sense of guilt. I have not apologized for being late in this meeting, and I've also said the reasons why.
I have apologized for you.
Yes, let me give you the reason. Then.
Okay.
The reasons are simple. Since Friday, I've been preaching since Friday, non-stop up until Sunday. Yes. And on Monday yesterday, I was counting the donations. So as a result, I missed my flight. So... Yes, I will. It is 850 sheep. Thanks, Chair.
Reverend Thiet, we wish you good, but I don't think that you've counted more than in Polokwane. I've seen the... Okay. The last point, Peter, but it is not referred to you. It's referred to the gentleman. It's just a point of interest. If you are not in a position to answer it, you must not answer it. I'm talking to the referee now. Tell me, in your 10 years of experience as a referee, had you had an opportunity to exclusively go and be a referee of a white dominant team? When was that? How many times, probably? And from that time, up until the time you retire, probably in 10 years, were you involved in a sports predominantly black? What was the attitude towards you? Was there any other thing that they say, but this white is so inferior that you really want a black referee to come and ref to us and all that? I'm asking you that question deliberately. In cricket and rugby, you can't be a black a referee or a coach. In cricket and rugby, you can't be. But in soccer, you can be a white coach in a black team and a white administrator in a black team. There is nothing like that. But I want to get this experience. Have you ever have a feeling? I have asked Mark Tovey this. He said that he has never. Last week, when we were in the Union Building, I met Mark Fish there. I asked him the very same question. But I want to check this notion. Whether were you uncomfortable? If you were uncomfortable, was it a continuous thing up until it was unbearable, and then you had to jump the ship? Can you tell me something?
Mr. Chair, I think I never jumped the ship. I mean, football for me is a passion. It's like AIDS, I suppose you can't get rid of it. My wife says to me, I've been a player, I'm a qualified FA coach, I've been a referee, I'm a match commissioner now. She said, when does it all end? I said, probably when you see the box being taken through the church. Because for me, football is a pulling together of all people, whether they're black, white, green, purple, whatever colour. And for me, it was an honour to be on the PSL panel for 10 years. I was treated very well wherever I went, whichever township I went to. And I still am. I mean, 2 weeks ago I was at Nkoa, in the northern province, then I was at Sesheko. And whenever I go there, people say, why are you going to these areas as a white person? To me, I think the Lord's looking after me from a point of view that he'll look after me. I'm going there because of the love of the game for the people I'm dealing with. And so to be out there on the field and helping people play the game that they love, and for me to be refereeing the game that I love, it was just a win-win situation for all. So yes, there were difficult times. I mean, there were times when, like, whether you, it doesn't matter what colour you are, if you make decisions which people don't agree with, there'll be difficult responses from the crowd. But for me, it was important that I put my integrity on the game, and I showed the crowds out there that if I made a mistake, I apologise, it was a genuine mistake, and hopefully I could limit the number of mistakes that was being made. And people, after a few months, can understand that I'm a referee who's got integrity, and I'm there for the game, not for individual teams. And, you know, I'm lucky that, you know, I came from England 25 years ago, so I haven't got club affiliation, and never had a club affiliation. So I'm not linked to a white club, or a black club, or coloured club, or whatever. Being a referee, being independent, you can go on at the park, honestly knowing that you're trying to do the best job you can for the 22 players that are out there. And if you make a mistake, you've got to be brave enough to say, players, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And not try and, you know, cajole them into making believe that your wrong decision is the correct decision, because that's wrong. So, yeah, I mean, I thoroughly loved it, and I still am involved in football, and I still am enjoying it. So, yeah, thank you.
Gentlemen, I think this is all the comments that I've made. It's not for necessarily a response. It's to enrich what you presented to us. But probably we'll be in a position to communicate with you quickly so that the other gentleman who came, and then we have done exactly this because we don't want to be accused as a parliamentary committee that creates a duplication of many of the things. We just want to hear from you whether have you gone through these people, how can you make synergy for you to have something that all of us, the concept and what you want to do, is something that this country needs, is one thing that all of us would like to see happen in the country. But we would have to be careful that we must not do something that is already existing and then and all that. And also, not to stop what people are intending to do when they think that it is a good idea. So as soon as we have met with those, whoever who's got the concept of this Hall of Fame, and then you interact and then you see where is going to be your area of operation, where are they operating and all that, then you can send a letter to Pori. When you send a letter to Pori, so that you met, who are those people, and then you're prepared to come and brief us and say what have they said, and then how are you going to draw the middle road or dovetailing your concept so that at least it must be one formidable concept. I think we appreciate that presentation, but it's a good presentation. I think we would like to see it happening. And then also, Ulindi will be taking your particulars about Mdlalov so that at least is, now it take her particulars so that you must just make an appointment and present, but you must tell the minister, you presented this, and then we felt that is a good concept, but when it involves a legend, the minister has a passion around those kind of things. So he's in a position to place them correctly. And then we must just have to interact with him and see to what extent he'll be able to assist you on what you're trying to do. He's not going to stop it, I am sure. But he'll be in a position to enrich it so that at least it must be something more better than what you have now in the end. So Ulindi will be in a position to do that. But I think in the absence of all other questions, honourable members, from here we'll go to the restaurant in the ground floor, Max building. It's already 10 past 12 and the food is arranged for 12:30. You're also invited to join us for the lunch. It's not an authorised expenditure, so it's for you that you have visited us, and then we are trying, that Ninga Ambininga Lambanga, maybe you don't even have money to buy food, so at least you are trying to buy food for yourself. So you invited gentlemen and ladies to the lunch, and you can join us. Thank you very much. And the meeting is